The mailbox is full and cannot accept any messages at this time. Goodbye.
Greetings, the automatically deleted husband. Automatically deleted again. I'm going to try to be much quicker. because of some of the things, I thought about, I left a video clip recently about what was called a video clip for my sons from Monday. And I thought about that, and I thought about some of the other clips. So what I decided to do is I put them all, they're all listed here. Some of the ones where it's the direct appeal to like institutional church leadership and whatnot, especially to Covenant Presbyterian, because I mentioned they're simply just down the road. If they actually believed what the Bible said and its command to reconcile, just show up at my door. But of course, and I did send that to people and obviously it was ignored. But there's also the one from May 31st to Jack. He's my son. And there were some others. But in the process of doing this, since I did a search, I ended up with some others, but three others that I thought were interesting. Two was from Niles Messler. The first one is, but the second one is very important because it's where he clearly states the reason Julian Assange is in prison being tortured and whatnot is not because of Julian Assange. It's not because of WikiLeaks. It's a warning to others. Don't go here. He articulates that quite well. That's one of the reasons why, that is basically the fundamental reason why the whole idea behind Shelfer Leaks as an ecosystem, not an organization. Because obviously I'm the first person to compromise. So if I can get it going, which there are difficulties, then send it off. It doesn't matter what happens to me. That's the objective. But it does take, anyway. I also, because I found that one, admitting masks are useless. This is from Denis Rancourt, who talked, and I've got it. Here it is, my mask. Notice it's in pristine shape, because again, never worn one. I have never worn a mask, because again, the technical term is they're stupid. They make no sense. You do it because authorities told you to. And what he explains is if you have done it and then are explained how foolish it was, it's going to attack your pride. And that's why you will say, no, I won't go here. And I would suggest the reason I use that, because that mentality is the same with, well, in the same case, the vaccine. It's the same with attitudes, for example, about Ukraine. If you're on one side or the other and you find, oh, there's an issue, I can't go there because I've been in this particular mindset. And so I don't want to be shown to be wrong. If you're involved in the institutional church in one degree or another, and a particular part of you is challenged, I don't want to go there because I don't want to say I was wrong. Pride is a killer. I know this because I try to set the example of someone who says, oops, I was wrong. But one of the other things the image I'm using, because one of the things that I thought about is I did write an email again this morning to my wife, and in it I did mention that I'm in excellent health, and I'm living the commitment I made to my wife to strive to live to be 90, again because I am a little bit older than my wife, so I'm living that. I'm keeping the promise. So unlike the cards I've been sending to Jim Cross over the last several days, today I sent one to George, and in hopes that this one won't be censored. My guess is probably it will be. But I put it out there, and being very upfront, it's out there, it was sent, well, and obviously the images are there. But the important thing is what I did is all looks well to go to go all looks well to do I have terrible handwriting. All looks well to do jumping jack number 1 million on December 8th, 2023 on the top of Big Frog Mountain. Join me, please. Love, Dan. So, you know, simple. I didn't go into any details. I pondered, but I said, no, I'm going to do a simple thing because one of the things I mentioned is that George probably doesn't know about this. Well, so what I did purposely is I'm setting yet another example. This is an appeal to my son, George. I want him to join me on December 8th. Speaking of that, just real quick, a little diversion. You know, I do have the jumping jacks. My score, my records are online, and you'll notice that typically, basically for the last roughly 2 years, I've been doing at least 1,000 jumping jacks a day. And if you look at the last 3 days, it's only been 896. You know, because I do it a multiple of 128, you know, to the end. But I cut down. The reality is I have been doing 1,000, but I haven't been recording them. Reason being, at the rate I'm going, I'm going to blow past 1 million before December 8th. So I need to slow down at least my count. So what I decided to do is I'm doing the 896. I do my 512 in the morning. I do another 128 when I do my smoothie. And then I do a 256 during the day. And then typically for other smoothies, such as I did today. But those second smoothies, whatnot, I'm no longer counting in order to slow down my count. Because I figured shortly, I don't remember, in a day or two, whatever it is, I'll get to the point where the number is an even 100, multiple of 100. From that point, I'm going to stop doing the 2 to the end and do it by some multiple of 100. So I'm going to start the morning with 500 instead of 512, and then do 100 and 200 during the day in order to do 1,000 a day, exactly 1,000 a day. And I'm going to sync this up to, I think it's, I don't remember if it's August 30th or 31st, because that's the 100-day count. And the intent is to be at the, you know, at the end of the month, I should be at 900,000 jumping jacks. And then each day drop 1,000, until December 7th. My intention is to get to December 7th to start that morning at 999,000. Do 900 that day. So I'll end the day at 999,900. And on December 8th, you know, I'll probably do my normal stuff in the morning, but I won't count them. Head up to Big Frog Mountain, Lord willing, and do the 100 remaining to accomplish to the million. That is the plan I've worked at. Everything seems to be going, you know, I'm not having problems doing this. It's, you know, there seems to be no issues with accomplishing this. Obviously, it is completely Lord willing, but everything is falling in place for this to transpire. So I think it's highly likely, not guaranteed, but highly likely I will do my 1 millionth jumping jack on December 8th. That I think is extremely likely. It may be that I won't be able to do it on Big Frog. That's a possibility. But the other thing is, I don't want to do it alone. You know, there is the possibility. I've invited two other people who have said, give me a tentative yes. But there are a lot of potentials there. There are issues that don't make it that high of a priority. So there is some problems in that area. But that would be great if either or both of these gentlemen join me. And maybe even Luke, you know, the gentleman who I was up there a couple months ago. But The important person, beyond question, is George. I would really find it great if it included Walter and Zadok, for example. Glory Jane, Susanna would be wonderful. The older kids would be great. My wife would be fantastic. I do think if it's anybody, the most likely, you know, I don't know, but I think the most likely is George. So that's why I am definitely pursuing that. But in the process, what I did when I, because I thought about that, I thought about, because in, I did write an, another email to my wife today, and I mentioned the hike up to Big Frog with Luke. And it brought to mind, so I figured, okay, I'm going to use a photo of that. I was going to use a photo with Luke and I, but I used that earlier. I used that on, well, when did I use it? I thought I used it. Didn't, because we went, when did we went in June. Didn't we go in June? Yes. Oh, there it is. June 26th. So I use that photo of Luke and myself. Again, that's a cheating photo because I took a picture of him, he took a picture of me, and I put them together, which is what I did with when I did, you know, went up with Chris. We did the same thing. But, you know, so it's tradition, you know, tradition. But instead of using that, one of the other things that's happened is that many times Chris and I have gone up to Benton Falls. I think we've been up there at least three times. Benton Falls to, well, okay. I have photos from two times, but there are others, clearly others. I have The picture gives you a link, and I describe. First time we went up there was June 25th of 2017, a long time ago. We went up there, and we went to the falls and went back. It was kind of a modest trip. We went up then again on May 27th of 2018, not quite a year later. And plane may be loud. I have the windows open today. Marvelous for August. Marvelous. But so we went up, and we did, instead of an 8-mile trip, we did a 12-mile trip. We did, you know, a lot longer. And you know, the issue is when we do Big Frog, we do roughly a half mile. It's only 2,300 feet up. So I say half mile. It's actually a couple hundred feet short of that. But we do a significant climb up. And the important thing is it's the highest point in the area. When we go to Buzzard Point, most people drive up to the lake at the top, Lake Chihaui, and then walk down. But we don't do that. We start at the bottom of the hill, and there's, they call it a bike trail. And we go up, and it's about 2,000 feet up. So it's not quite, but it's similar to the hike up Big Frog. However, it's shorter. Well, except when we go all the way to the lake, then it's 12 miles. So actually, it's a hair longer. But so we did that on 2018, and then what we found is there are little, some side paths, and we found on a side path. What was very clear, it was a pile of stones, and on it was a cross, you know, made of sticks. So clearly, I would suggest very clearly an Ebenezer, which I described in detail. And so some individual or small group of people did this. And since it's not on the main path, it's on a secondary path, you know, I thought that was interesting. And I don't know if I took a pic. I don't think I took a picture of it. I wasn't prepared to take a picture of it that first time. First time we saw it. But then it was 2021. And this is where I have some pictures. And we did a different route and walked by the Ebenezer. And somebody apparently was offended by it, pushed over the rocks, and threw down the cross. You know, this is really not a surprise. I can understand where somebody is offended by the cross. I can understand that. So somebody said, we don't like this. And, you know, I don't think it's the kind of thing that, you know, makes the world go round or whatnot. But I saw the offense of towards the people who put it up in the first place. And, of course, somebody was simply trying to say, I don't like Christ. So I put together a few of the rocks back, and I looked around, and near it, where the rocks were, pushed the rocks back together, found the cross that somebody simply pushed aside, and put the cross back. So what you see, is I returned it. I'm trying to think. Maybe the first time the rocks weren't pushed over, because the second time, this time would be in 2022, June of 2022, the rocks were pushed over. And it took a little more effort to find the cross, if I recall correctly. I may have those two stories. But again, twice I put that cross back up. You know, I think twice I put the cross back up and once I put the stones back up. I think that's right. Yeah, what can I say? It's been a while. It became kind of a personal thing to do this. So one of the things I thought about is I think that's a maybe an indication of stamina. I'm not giving up. Somebody else did this work, and I want to stand with them, acknowledge what they did, setting up the Ebenezer. You know, and again, I described where that, you know, where that comes from, and so forth. Somebody made the effort to do that. Others came and said, "We want to destroy this." And I went back and said, "No, I'm sorry. I'm going to rebuild, and I'm going to rebuild." Does it mean anything really deep? Not really, but it's a little bit of symbolism. So why I bring that up is because of the symbolism. I'm trying to rebuild my family. I didn't give up on this relatively trivial pile of rocks and a stick. There's some people. It's a whole lot more important. And I'm not going to give up. When I had the opportunity to rebuild the pile of rocks, and as I'm putting out some effort to rebuild a family. So there was my effort on Sunday, where I sent an email to Jim Cross and informed him that I got the letter from the state. And then, of course, Monday, I got the certified letter from the state. And then, you know, to my shock, it was Tuesday afternoon, I got the email from my wife. And I did respond to her. You know, it wasn't wait a day, think about it. What? No, I responded to her. It was, well, just over an hour. Just over an hour later, I responded to her. And it was a fairly detailed response. And I did this thing, I keep referring to the scripture. But, you know, I thought about it. And because of the fact that lady's important to me. She's a vague memory, but I also know my commitment to her. So I wrote an email this morning, spent over an hour writing it. It was a long email. I think I spent 2 hours writing it. And, you know, it was to try to make the case that I believe my wife is trusting in the state. I did mention Proverbs 1984 because she's living it. She is living it. And when, you know, when I read her email, the first paragraph of it, I appreciate that I have their compassion and their support. Speaking of the state, I did point out people, individuals have compassion. The state has only force. And you don't trust in the state. I'm sorry, trusting in the state, 1 Samuel 8, is a rejection of God. Direct. It's not somebody else said, well, I think that's not a good idea. The Lord says directly, you have rejected me. Unambiguously. His words, not mine. Turning to the state is saying to the Lord, I'm sorry, I have a higher authority. No, my authority is the Lord Jesus Christ, my creator. And I'm going to stand on that. So I did write a fairly detailed email this morning and sent it. This time, yesterday my response was to my wife, and I included Jim Cross. Today, I did again send to both of them and my kids, or the email addresses I have. And the assumption, well, obviously the one to Jack bounced, but my assumption is the others were simply blocked. So I did it, and my assumption is probably no one has seen the email. I wonder if Jim Cross might, simply because of the fact that he's obviously aware that things are happening. So, and again, I am being very direct with Jim Cross. He is a ordained elder in the PCA. In other words, according to the Bible, it means absolutely nothing. Zip. Because an elder is simply someone who is older. I know that's so complicated. It is not an office. And I will take on anybody who has that office and look at the scripture with them. Do search the scripture and see if these things are so. The Acts 17. Do the Berean model with them. But no, we don't want to go there because if we do, we might find out we are wrong. Can't go there because if you're wrong, if you are an elder and you find out that there is no office of an elder, what you're finding out is that the position you have is a fallacy. And you have to do one of two things. You got to defend your position, which means you have to build your position on sand. You have to say, okay, yes, I'm wrong, but I'm going to live the lie. Or you're going to have to say, no. No, the Lord makes it clear. An elder is someone who's older. Called a mature. As I matured, I've seen I was wrong. Again, one of the examples I used in one of these is in the Acts 19, where they burned a whole bunch of stuff that cost them a lot. They're willing to pay the price, saying, no, what I was doing was wrong, and I'm going to pay the worldly price because I want to follow my Creator, not have all this, the wealth of the world. And I'm afraid part of the issue is the wealth of the world, but probably the bigger issue is pride. Because that's going to hurt your pride. Because I know it's hurt mine terribly. To be able to say, but see, you know, I have the advantage. I have a whole lot of stuff to say. I was wrong here, 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 and here. And, you know, it's one thing to be, yes, I'm admitting I was wrong. It's another thing to say, I don't want to admit I was wrong. That's a harder place to be. And so I was very clear, because besides Jim Cross and my wife, I would like to reconcile with them both. I did point out again, Jim Cross is the senior member of the family, and therefore he should take the lead on this, pursuing reconciliation if he follows Christ. You know, again, I did the detailed stuff on it, what it is to reconcile yesterday. So it's you know, it's something he is commanded to do. I pointed it out, the 1 Corinthians 7:11, my wife is commanded to reconcile. It's very clear. I am appealing to both of them. But then there's the other aspect. I want to protect my kids, because I will contend my kids are being groomed to follow a false Christ. I would suggest this is clear. They're being groomed to follow a false Christ. So, what's happened today? I am so far behind, and I continue to be behind, but I worked on a tool. I had a diagnostic tool in to do the DNS queries. It wasn't right. And I figured, okay, I don't need that right now, but it gives me the ability, because it uses the underlying structure, and the underlying structure was wrong. So I worked on that tool today, made that tool a whole bunch better, simpler, and consistent with the rest of the design, as the rest of the design has matured. And so hopefully, I got to a point and I said, enough is enough. Hopefully that'll be taken care of tomorrow. And so it's Thursday. I didn't go to the farmer's market Tuesday. I will tomorrow, I hope. Lord willing, I'll go tomorrow. But that's a focus. It's a focus now to get this email stuff working, because, and you know, because I'm in trouble, and I want to have something to seriously show people, so somebody may say, yes, I want to be involved in this. Because again, I emailed again the party that was supposed to come to me a week ago, and they remain silent, which is a concern. And so I'm in a difficult situation. My assumption is my wife is having some kind of difficulties. The difference between what the difficulties my wife is going through and the difficulties I'm going through is she has others around her, specifically her dad, I assume her mom, our kids. I'm alone in the sense of people around me. But I see the grace of the Lord. I see the Lord holding me. So I am going to pursue trying to get this project done. Because again, I did mention, I'm going to read a paragraph. It's a long paragraph. But because I wanted to set the stage. Part of it was a reminder. There was a moment many years ago that sunk in when we were in your parents' new home, and in a dialogue with your dad about WikiLeaks, he stated, "You should distance yourself from Julian Assange." As I've stated many times, I didn't and I won't. I think it was 2013 when the Shofar Leaks project started to become real, with interactions with several in Europe. But problems occurred, and it became dormant and then abandoned. The morning of April 11, 2019, about an hour after it happened, I watched Julian Assange being forcibly escorted to prison, where he remains to this day under no charge. Again, an example of state power, not compassion. So let me point out a couple things here. One, 2019 was a while ago. Julian Assange has been in prison under no charge for now 4 years. And not just simply in a cell with a bunch of other people. In isolation, 23 hours a day, he is being tortured. And that's why I give you the link to Niles Messler. And the clip number 2, where he explains the purpose behind this. This is a big deal. And this is what I'm playing with. But the other thing I mentioned, again, example, state power, not compassion, which refers to what my wife stated about how she saw the state offering their compassion. No, the state doesn't offer compassion. It offers force. There is no compassion from the state. That weekend, I reacquired shofarleaks.com, but it remained dormant. Late last year, I described Collateral Pipeline. In January, I did the video, Modern Day Slavery from Cocoa to Sex, offering a fighting chance for some. Suddenly, Shofar Leaks was funded for 6 months. The project has been summarized with protecting the whistleblower, freeing the sex slave, facilitating reconciliation. You will find a lot of details related to this on the DVD in the box sent to Susanna. But the issue is doing this takes a backbone driven by love, striving for obedience to Christ. The first and third items in the list are directly applicable to me, and the second is something I have dealt with face to face. This is not a game, but either is what it takes to love. I can't emphasize enough. This is not a game. You know, it really does amaze me because I came up with the term collateral pipeline in order to relate what would happen if somebody who had some information made that information public about the Nord Stream destruction. And because I'm quite convinced that person would be dead. There's too much at stake here. That person would be dead. So you have to protect that person. And apparently, Seymour Hersh is protecting that person or people because he has, you know, came out with his article in February, pointing to and giving evidence. And again, he did it like on February 8th and February 9th. I went through the details. This is some of the details why it was done this way. You know, what he explained, I gave details to show this was a rational explanation. This seems extremely credible. And then what, a month or two ago, this idea of this Ukrainian group hired a yacht and did it. That is so stupid, it's ridiculous. But people keep grabbing onto that. The thing I mentioned, was it yesterday, day before, about the one interview with Kevork Alnasian, where the one party talked about it, said that is such a stupid thing. It you really have to unscrew your head in order to say, yes, I believe that. Or you have to basically sell your soul because you know it's stupid, but you can't deny your group. You got to stay with your group because that is stupid. It's worse than wearing a mask. Well, I don't know. I mean, because the mask thing, I mean, the evidence is so overwhelming. But anyway, again, it's the evidence that you can prove yourself. You know, you do the CO2 test yourself. It's. I mean, because I've seen people do it. But anyway. But I know how to protect the whistleblower. And why have I studied this? Again, I'm the repeat offender. I thought about it yesterday. I'm sorry. I thought about it yesterday, day before, because there were, you know, the medical thing, software that I was doing. Yes, I will definitely claim to be a whistleblower in that case. Westar, unambiguously. And there are others that are loose. One wasn't a whistleblower per se. That's the Volvo incident where I had like a 12-week contract. I did the job in like 2 weeks, and when I got to like three or four, they said, I'm sorry, we can't keep you on because, I mean, you've done the work. But I remember specifically, I've described this, where, you know, these are the cubicle kind of things with modestly high walls. And the guy I was working with, I remember at one point, turned around and he reached over because he reached his arms over the wall, you know, so his arms were, the wall was about his, you know, just below his armpits, reached his hands over and said, slow down. I remember the way he did that with his arms. Slow down. That's all he said. Slow down. Two words. That's it. And I can't. I'm sorry. That's theft. That's what happened at, was it Source Medical? I think it was Source Medical. In Birmingham, I was told to do a poor job, directly told to do a poor job. And I said, no, I can't. And I'm the bad guy for it. I want my wife back. I'm not going to give up in shofar leaks until it's taken from me. Again, the example I gave of Shireen Abdul-Aqli, that'd be a good way to have it end. I'm fine with that. The issue is, I am indeed fine with it. I have no problem with it. It's the Philippians 4. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. For me to live in obedience to Christ is to do what I know what to do. You know, it's the James idea. The one who knows the right thing to do and doesn't do it, for him it is sin. I would suggest, if I don't do this, it's sin. Why do I have to do this? For my pride? No. I gave the example of the watchman. We are called in many ways to protect others. The watchman is one example. You know, it is the example I've said when somebody calls for help, such as when you go to the leadership of the institutional church and say, help, I'm trying to reconcile. And they say, no, this is not a good thing in the eyes of the Lord. I think this is clear. When I see clearly, again, the collateral pipeline example, compared to the Julian Assange example, this is not a game. There's somebody who may be crying for help. And I have something to offer. And I'm going to say, well, it's too hard. No one's helping me. I'm not making any money off of this. I'm in serious trouble financially. It's uncomfortable. No one likes me. I'm going to let you die. No, I'm sorry. I can't go there. Then there are the minor ones. You know, again, I've used the example of penny candy. Those are minor examples. It's the, you know, I did mention that you know, if my wife really wanted to love our kids, I have those 9 videos in the intro series. She'd sit down with our kids and watch them. And I ended up watching the first one. And I stand with it. It's a year and a half old or whatever. I stand with it. And, of course, was it number 6 about collateral murder? That ripped me apart. Well, one other paragraph, short one. You may think that I'm getting a typical high-dollar income in software, but it's simply not the case. Do you know why? Do you know why I was grinding deer meat rather than working for big bucks in a large corporation? ask Mr. Tamal. Obviously, if you don't know, what? Who's Mr. Tamal? Well, he's there in the background in that picture. That's his family. And that's him dying. And, you know, this man, Ethan McCord, helped perhaps save the lives of these two kids who were in this van as it was being shot up by people trained by the leadership of the church I was a member of in Enterprise, Alabama. This man has his personal issues, but he's the only American in the collateral murder video who showed love. He has been hounded. He was kicked out of the military. He is, you know, he's not the class act. But he showed love. The reason his photo's on my wall is not because I endorse his lifestyle. It's like I do not endorse the lifestyle of Julian Assange. But there are things that they have done that I say, well done. Beyond question, well done. That's the model. I will give respect to someone who does that. I got along. There's pressure right now in many ways, and I'm reaching out to my wife. My assumption is it'll probably be ignored, not seen. But it was done. And if indeed if I can press on and I get the mailing list stuff in there, and assuming nothing else happens, I'll make this all public and push it to the world. Because I have had people including face to face offer thanks to me, and that drives me. Because I do believe it's obedience to Christ. And for some reason, even with all my mistakes, the Lord has allowed me to press on, at least to this point. So right now, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I am in trouble. I'm in serious trouble. I'm not eating as well as I used to. But I'm going to press on until I'm stopped. I've got to. And I want to reconcile with my wife. I want to reconcile with Jim Cross. Thinking of the videos here, I want to reconcile with Jack. I sent a very strong letter to my wife today. It was an act of love. My lady, my wife, I love you and I want you back.